Good morning. We praise the Lord that we can come this morning in peace, in good health. As a family, we can worship our Lord together. So we'd like to thank God for this opportunity. When we look around the world, repeatedly I said, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters, they don't have this privilege to worship our Lord so freely. You know, so we want to thank God for this opportunity. This morning, I would like to bring bring you a message from Daniel chapter 3. You know, start from next Sunday in the Chinese service, I'm going to preach a series of messages through Daniel, book of Daniel. But this morning, I would like to bring your attention to Daniel chapter 3, altogether 30 verses. We are not going to spend, you know, time to go through all the 30 verses, but I'm going to focus on a message on true faith. What is true faith? So, you know, let's read together verse 17 and 18 before we continue on. Let's turn to book of Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If you have a Bible, turn to your Bible. If not, you know, you can look at the screen in front. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, let's read together. The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. 18. But even if he does not, he wants you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. These are the testimony from the three good friends of Daniel. Their name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three friends. Those three names was given by King Nebuchadnezzar. That means it's not originally Israel name. But in chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, the story was saying that the king of Babylon, he built an image. The image of, you know, huge image. The image of gold. The image is 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. It's very big, huge image. And the purpose for the image is for everybody to worship this image of gold made by the king of Babylon. And the story says that, you know, everybody, especially those in the service, you know, the Bible lists from chapter 3, verse 2 onward. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all of the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. That means the king called all those in the services to come and worship this image. And it happened that Daniel was in the royal court, and all his three friends were summoned to worship, to go to a place that everybody line up and supposed to worship this image. And the Bible is saying that whoever they are not willing to worship, to bow down before this image, you know, verse 6 saying that whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. That's burning fire. Whoever is not willing to worship this image, this God, will be thrown into the burning fire, blazing furnace. This is the background of the story. This is the background of the story. So when the trumpet, when the music starts, everybody line up and then they have to worship this image. To me, I look at the whole picture. This is a test. This is a trial. It's a real test for Jews, for Christians, because Jews were taught that they are not allowed to bow down to any other image or any other person beside God, beside the one who created them. We Christians have the same, you know, principle. We don't bow down, we don't kneel down easily to any other image or any other person beside our God. This is time of trial. This is a time of test. Are we going to follow the instruction of the King Babylon to worship this image? Or if we are not, then we probably, you know, will face death. This is a test. This is a trial time for Christians, for those who believe in the true God. What are we going to respond to that? When we are thinking of life and death choices, how are we going to do it? How are we going to face this, you know, decision? In a few weeks ago, when I was in China, one week I was teaching in the morning and afternoon. At some time, I read 5 books during my teaching, 7 days time in the afternoon. And then one book was about, you know, the Chinese churches facing the communist, you know, time. A lot of people, they were struggling because they were given the opportunity to keep on believing your God and live out. Or if you follow their instruction, or if you keep on your believing and you refuse to follow the instruction of the communist government, then you are going to put into jail or even facing death sentence. I saw a lot of stories, people struggle. That's very real life. And when I think about we Christians in America, we don't have this opportunity. We don't have this opportunity to be put into this kind of test. Our test is more like what? More like you prepare a container and then put some water in there and then put a mouse in there and then turn on your oven or your stove, low, very low heat, and put the container on the stove, and then the container will just warm up slowly, and then with this heat, the mouse will feel like drowsy, you know, this kind of weather, like kind of going to sleep and start dreaming. And before very long, the mouse was cooked to death, very comfortably, cooked to death. We are facing test more like this way of testing. You know, we may not have the opportunity to have the opportunity to suffer for the Lord like those people in the communist country or some other countries. So, brothers and sisters, how do we know if we have faith in our Lord? How do we know if our faith is, you know, genuine, is true, is having proved, you know, you know, a process of testing? How do we know? How do we know that this gold is pure? How do we know that our faith is pure? Brother and sister, we would like to live a victorious Christian life. But in this kind of society, this kind of environment, we sometimes wonder, how can we test our faith? So brothers and sisters, this morning I would like to show you you know, a real lesson to me, and I believe to all of us here, that through chapter 3 we can see the true faith in our Lord. What does that mean? So when the three Jewish men, Daniel's friends, they were among all the other people standing in front of this image, when the music stopped, everybody bowed down except the three friends. They stood there and they were standing there, you know. When everybody bowed down, and then you easily can recognize who was standing there. Immediately, someone reported to the king, saying that, "King, when the music starts, everybody bowed down, and only three people stood there and not bowed down to your image, to not following your instruction." So the Bible say, when this happened, what was the reaction of the king? Chapter 3, verse 13, furious with rage. The king was furious. King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most powerful king in the history. And at that time, he was very successful. And he expect everybody obey his command. And now, openly, publicly, three Jews, they refuse to be submissive. They refuse to obey him. So the king, furious with rage, and then he summoned again the three Jewish, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and asked them to come. And it was very kind for the king from verse 14 onwards, saying that, I know that you didn't worship. The king tried to find some excuse for them, saying that maybe you didn't get the instruction correct. Okay, now I give you another chance. I give you another chance. So when the music starts, everybody bow, and you people bow also. No exception. So the king gave him the second chance. King gave him the second chance. After hearing all this, the three friends, what was their response? Verse 17. This was the response from the three friends of Daniel. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. Facing death. And this is the answer. They say, King, we don't need to, to consider. We don't need to discuss about this. This is our answer. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace. This is huge faith. Huge faith. What did they say? They say that if we were thrown into the furnace, first, our God, the God we serve, is able to save us from you. He put God in front of the king and saying that you want us to do something, and our God say no. And then if you want to kill us, if you want to punish us, remember this. My God, our God is able to save us. This is a challenge to the God. When you read the history of China, of any country, someone challenged a king, usually doesn't end up very well. And this is one of the examples. The three men with faith challenged the king, saying that the God we serve is able to save us from you. There is a clear challenge, instruction there from God, saying that no, you are not allowed to worship anyone else beside me. And the three Jewish, they take it very seriously, and they only worship God, our Lord. And they say clearly to the king, the God we serve is able to save us from you. This is one area that we Christians need to practice, need to help, ask God to help us, so that no matter what happened, we say that the God we serve is able to save us. Save us from what? From the world. Save us from our own desire. Save us from a lot of things that may, lead us into another direction that God doesn't like. So may God help us. And secondly, in verse 17, the three friends said, he will rescue us from your hand. So if you prepare the furnace, even if you've thrown us into the furnace, God will rescue us. You know, how many of us can say this in front of our enemy during the time of test and trial? How many of us can say that? You know, we trust our Lord, we have faith in Him up to a point that even someone wants to kill us, we still say that, I trust in our Lord. Even if you kill me, I still trust my Lord. This is a huge faith. So, and they believe that the God we serve is able to save us. They believe that He will rescue us from your hand. This is faith. So, brothers and sisters, if you do a simple question like this, how much is their faith? 80%, 90%, 100%. What do you think? What do you think? Where is their faith? Is this 80%? 90%? 100%? Brothers and sisters, when we reach verse 17, the very first feeling, I myself feel like, oh, they have 100% faith in the Lord. And then when I move on to the verse 18, then I will say, okay, the 100% faith is in the verse 18. Maybe 75 to 90% faith is in the verse of 17. Why I say this? Look at verse 18 together. Look at verse 18 together. And the three friends saying what? Saying that, King, we don't need to talk about this, because even, you know, if you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will, you know, is able to save us. This is, you know, first thing they say. The second thing they say is, He will rescue us from your hand. That means we trust in Him. Doesn't matter what you are going to do with us, our God will save us. Our God will save us. But there is a possibility there. There is a possibility there. God is able. God is willing, but God may not save them. God may not save them. Do you realize that? When Peter was put into the prison, the angel came and then guided Peter out, free from the prison. But in the same story, I mean, in Book of Acts, when James was arrested and he was beheaded, his head was cut off. I trust that James' God and Peter's God is the same. And this God is able to do anything. But God has different plan on different people. So a lot of Christians, when they pray and they know that God is able and they believe that God loves us and they believe that God is going to help us, and end up, God responds differently. And some people start wandering around saying that, where is God? Why He is not listening to my prayer? And they start, you know, distance themselves from God. And they felt like God, you know, is not listening to my prayer. It's not fair. Why God loved that person more than me? They start asking a lot of questions. But true faith is in verse 18, not the verse 17. Verse 17, that our God is able. But we remember that God knows better than us. So the answer comes from verse 18, to me, is true faith. What does that mean? But the three friends say that, but even if He does not. That means even if God does not rescue us from your hand, what did they say? We want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God, gold you have set up. That's true faith. That means what? We trust the Lord, not because He answered our prayer according to what we ask. We trust our Lord, not because we know that He is able and that He will do anything that we request of Him. We trust the Lord. We know that He knows what is the best for me. Even when I pray and He doesn't answer me, we still trust Him. we still have faith in him. This is the true faith. This is the true faith. You just look at the verse 17 and verse 18, and you put, you know, a lot of people's faith, you know, in a test, and see where is our faith in our Lord. I've seen a lot of Christians, they are more preferring so-called prosperity theology, and then when they pray and they ask, and they say, God is good, God is blessing us. Look at me, I drive a new car today. Not real, I mean, the people will say, I have a big new house, I have a lot of money, because our God is great, he is rich, he owns the whole world, and they trust it. But they are not very well prepared if God do it a little bit differently to them. A lot of them start doubting God and leaving their faith. So brothers and sisters, these three friends, I really admire them because they have understand the true faith. Yes, God is able. Yes, God is able to rescue us. God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, I still trust in him. This is the true faith. We need to know our God, you know, well enough to have this faith. So what happened after the stories? Of course, the king was so furious. He commanded to you know, add the heat to the furnace 7 times. Even to a state that when the soldiers carried the 3 men and thrown them into the furnace, before the 3 men were thrown into the furnace, the soldier were killed by the heat. And then when they were in a furnace, they were walking around. And there appeared a 4th person. And immediately the king called out saying, why I saw the 4th person? Who is this person? And they he immediately called the 3 men, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. Because the king realized that the true faith of these 3 men really tell the world who the true God is. So as a result, you know, the king, you know, just saying that I saw the 4th man walking with them, and king saying that servants of the Most High, the verse 26, come out. And then he said, praise be to the Lord. And he even said that, you know, the God of these 3 men is the true God. He testified what he has seen. And the king promoted them into even a higher position in his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, what is true faith? True faith needs to go through a process of testing. So when we have testing, are we complaining, saying, God, why this happened to us? Are we saying that, why not him? Brothers and sisters, nothing is coincident. Everything happened to us, God have permission for that. Let's take all the tests with a grateful heart and saying, God, we want to thank you for this opportunity to exercise my faith in you. So brothers and sisters, you know, I hope you can read, you know, several times on book of, Daniel chapter 3 and think about the true faith and ask ourselves, where am I? Where am I? Am I, you know, like the 3 friends of Daniel that really have the faith in God and praise him and depend on him no matter what? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the testimony that Daniel's 3 friends had. They trust you, and they allowed you to make the final decision about their life. We just want to thank you for this kind of true faith in you. And we believe that God, you love us. You have the best plan for us. So let us learn how to trust in you and thank you for any kind of life experiences, sometimes even very difficult. Help us to thank you, knowing that God, You are God Almighty. You are our God, our Lord. We want to thank you for this testimony. We want to thank you for the teaching from this chapter of the book of Daniel. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.